Romans chapter number 8. Whoever's teaching in the morning, I know that they have to yet to pick that. I have my suggestions, and that person will know who it is. But anyway, don't feel too bad, because when I got here, I got this message turned around on me from the email from John, which came Tuesday before we left on Wednesday to come here. So when I read this passage, this is probably one of the passages here in chapter 8 that you kind of go, what? What is he saying? 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? I don't know. What in the world? Now, that's not what the verse says. It says what? If God be for us, who can be? That's it. The title of the message is, are you sure about this? Yes. Why? Because God's for me and it's done and let's go home. Okay? By the way, I leave after lunch this morning because I have to go back. So I can cut this short real quick. Ready? Amen. Pray. Let's go to lunch. Right? All right. But you look at that passage and boy, you just sit there and you go, what is he talking about? Whom he foreknew. Whom he called. Foreknew. Predestinated. You sit there and you go, whoa. Now we're not going to talk about the Calvinistic bent, because this is the passage that everybody runs to if you're a Calvinist to use and so forth. But I do want to just real quickly, let's define these terms, because I'm going to take them and then we're going to define them and then we're going to talk about them in a culmination event. Okay? He says there, and just drop down with me. We're going to get to 26 and 27. Just relax. Okay? Look at verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are what?
Called.
Okay. First one. Called. How are you called?
By the gospel.
By the gospel, right? Come over with me just real quick. You got to run. We're going to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We're going to run. We're going to burn up your tablets and your Kindles and your Bible pages, okay? So you got to pay attention. At home, we have some of the older folks, they use those Kindles because they can get there quicker. Because it's just... And one guy the other day, he goes out with smoking. You know? So that's what we're going to do this morning. 2 Thessalonians 2, notice verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always for you, to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Now, the salvation there is not justification, it's salvation from the wrath to come that he just went through in the chapter, okay? All right, ready? Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by what? So when you says there, to those that were called, who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Where are we in Romans 8? Are we unsaved or saved?
Saved.
Okay, good deal. All right, you got it. So how am I called? Go back to Romans 8. Might as well stick something in Romans 8, okay? Because we're going to bounce back and forth. Romans 8. To them who are called according to... So we're talking about who?
Believers.
Members of the body of Christ, right? Then he says... Whom, for whom, he, for whom? Who's the whom? Come on, guys. Who did he just call? So whom's he, for whom? The body of Christ. He just called. What is he going to do? He did what? No.
He
did, no, verse 29. For whom he did what? Foreknow. Who did he foreknow? Hey, you guys are on the ball. It's going to be easier than I thought. Foreknow. To know something beforehand, right? Do you know something that's going to happen today beforehand? Yeah, Rick's leaving. You guys are going to go jump on the ropes course, right? What do you know that's coming? Ropes course, volleyball, dinner, ice cream, hot sausage with liver-flavored ice cream. Right? You know some stuff. That did God foreknow that the body of Christ was coming?
Yes.
Did He foreknow you were going to be in the body of Christ?
No.
How are you?
You just
Now you guys are... Now you catch up. Now, do you see the trick that they play? See, I just tricked you up, didn't I? Did He know you were going to be in the body of Christ? Yes, He did. He knows those are His. He knows those. But how'd you get in the body of Christ? You were called by what? The gospel. You follow? See? Now you see the theologians, what are they? Are you really called? Did He really know foreknow? They play the game, don't they? We're not trying to play the game. I just want you to think of, remember the think, mind the things, think about this. Okay, so now He foreknew them. He also did what? Alright, predestinate. Does that word define itself for you?
Yes.
What's the destiny? It's been predetermined, hasn't it? Not in the passage, okay? The passage is something else. There's been a predetermined place to go. Your destiny has been determined. Now, has an unsaved person's destiny been determined?
Yes.
No, it has not.
Not until he dies.
Why? Because they can hear the gospel of your salvation, get saved, sealed, and they're in just like you and I are, with smelling good like roses. Okay? Follow that? But as a member of the body of Christ, who He's called, who He foreknow, what did He decide to do? I've got something for... I got a destiny for them to fulfill in the verses, to be conformed to the image of who? His Son, the firstborn among many brethren. We'll look at that firstborn in just a minute, but I want you to catch these terms. So now he predestinated, then He called them, verse 30, then He did what to those that He called? He justified them, didn't He? Then the justified guys, we understand what that's talking about. What did He do then?
Glorified.
Boy, there's a lot of terms in there, isn't there? We haven't even started. But this is where the theologian... So don't let theology come along and trip you up out of your walk in the Spirit to cause you to readjust your thinking to now fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you think you're somebody. You know, Dad said it the other night. Boy, look at what God got when He got me. Woo! No, He got a good deal. Yeah, Henry's on my side up here. Where's that squirt gun? Henry, wake up, you guys. Now go back to 26. Keep those just brief definitions in your thinking. Who'd He call? Those who are going to believe on Him. He's the Savior of all mankind, especially those that believe. What a verse. He called you by His gospel. Then He says, you know what? I called you. There's a group I'm going to put you in. And I got a destiny for that group. Now, that's all at the end of this little section. And again, are you sure about this is the title? Now watch verse 26. What's the first word?
Likewise.
So what would that mean? What did John just get done going down through? I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not but worthy to be compared to the
glory
that shall... Likewise, the Spirit... You see how He's going to tag this into what He just got done talking about? He's going to slide it all up in there underneath that sonship. He's going to slide it all up underneath that thinking and minding the right things. All back up underneath that walking in the Spirit. He's going to bring in something here into your thinking, because you have a destiny that He's got going on here, and He's going to use terms. And as a walk in the Spirit, you need to understand some things about this suffering. Likewise, the Spirit... What's the verse say? Also helping our suffering. Ooh, He changed the word, didn't He? He went to an infirmary, didn't He? Now, suffering and infirmities, you look them up in the dictionary, they don't mean the same thing. You know that? In the Webster's, I got it here in my phone, wherever I put my phone here, it talks about the condition of being feeble, weak, having a failing about you. Now, suffering, Brother John just went through it for you, didn't He? That's kind of the big category, isn't it? If you're heirs of God and joint heirs of God, if we, what? Suffer. There's the big picture. But what happens to you? Now he comes along and says, hey, likewise, like you've got this hope in verse 25 and 24, like you got this idea of how to think about that suffering. We got a great picture of that, didn't we? Now let's get personal. Let's get down here where you are and think about, and guess what's going to end up happening? You're going to have the same hope. You're going to have the same glory. You're going to have everything that we just went through in a broad, the creation. He talks about the creation. Now he's going to talk about you. It's very interesting that he uses the word infirmary. All right, you ready? 2 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 4. Now, let's just look at these just real quick, thinking about infirmary, the infirmities. And by the way, on your way, get 1 Thessalonians 3. So 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 Corinthians 4, and 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 12, 1 Thessalonians 3. We're going to start in 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse number 3. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says that no man should be moved by these what? Afflictions. There's infirmities. Afflictions. Now we're down into something that's happened to you on a daily, just right in front of you. You got the big pictures of suffering. You think about, now, by the way, suffering, the definition has to do with this issue of being in a position. I didn't look it up. I don't have it quick here. Just give me a second. Come on, phone. Because I was just looking at this morning. I told you. We got late, two F's. To submit to or to be forced to endure. Isn't that what 18 tells us? How about to put up with, especially as inevitable or unavoidable?
The IRS.
Okay. Okay. I'll let that stand. You guys can... Okay. I've learned how to deal with the front row. Just let it stand. Okay. But what about, what's that infirmity? Now we're not talking about unavoidable. Now it's here, isn't it? It's right in on top of us. 1 Thessalonians 3, there, verse number 3, Paul says, hey, I want to be moved by these what? Afflictions. I'm in the middle of something here. You guys received the word in much affliction, he tells them. What was going on? Were they suffering? Yeah, they were suffering. But they had something specific going, lewd to the men of the baser sorts. And the Jews after them. They couldn't get the civil to do it, so they went and got the criminal element. And they just after them. Where is that? Right in front of them, isn't it? Are we going to suffer in the present time? Yeah. We got glory waiting, right? Likewise, the Spirit also right now in the dirty now and now the details. Guess what He's going to do? Same thing. Bring you the glory. Have the glory come into your thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 12. I just try to get this into your thinking to think about. By the way, you still thinking about these guys? Because they're coming. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 15, the Apostle Paul says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to what? Hey folks, what a way to look about your infirmities. Your sufferings, the afflictions. What are they there to do? They're there to abound to the glory of God, aren't they? How? How do they abound? Look at that verse. How do they abound to the glory? With what? Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Woo! For whatever's ailing me today. Right? That's the mindset, isn't it? The next verse. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Oh, watch this. How do we walk, guys? By faith. Watch what he just said. We don't look at the things which are what? So what are we at? We're on the law side. Oh, I lost my section back there. We're on the law side, aren't we? We're walking in the faith. We're walking, I'm not in the faith, we're walking in the flesh. We don't have the mind right, do we? When we're looking at things that are seen. Oh, there you are. I see that. But now watch what he keeps saying. He says, but at the things which are what? Not seen. Why? For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. And the things which are not seen are what? Oh, look at that. Hey, we're back to the glory that shall be revealed in us, aren't we? You see the thinking? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation have taken you but as what? Common to man. But God is what? Faithful. Then He's going to do what? He's going to make a way for you to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Withstand. That's bear it. Huh? I want to take Him out. Doesn't He know I'm the predestinated from the foundation, before the foundation of the world to be called? I got all this. Huh? How does He do that? Likewise, the Spirit comes along and deals with that infirmities, right? And He's going to make an intercessory, isn't He? Now come back over. Do you get the idea? By the way, always remember, when things are going rough, always remember Romans 5:1 to about verse number 11. You have peace with God through what? Being justified by grace, by faith, we have peace with God. Tribulation is going to work patience. Patience, experience, hope, and a hope that we can't be ashamed of. Boy, wow, look at that. Hey, folks, I love that in Romans 8, there 5:8, but God commendeth His love. But in verse 9, it says, much more. What could be much more than the love of God at Calvary? We're what? Saved from the wrath to come. Wow, what a mindset. What a think of. So when things get rough, just remember, it's common to man. I get my little rental car, I'll go down the road, and something could happen. Because the rental people didn't take care of the car. I get a text yesterday morning, my truck won't start, my kids, Ricky's truck won't start. Well, okay, we'll get there when I get there. You know what? What's he do? Rides with his sisters. Uh-oh. You know? What happened? The truck didn't start. Who knows what happened? Until you can do what? Take a deep breath, go in, investigate it, get it fixed, and off you go. Now go back to Romans 8 with me. All right? You guys okay? All right. Now, we didn't do 12, did we? Yeah, stick something in 12. We'll come right back to that, because we've got to catch the next phrase in Romans 8. 12's associated with all of this, okay? Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. When you're in the middle of an infirmity, what do you usually pray? Help! Help me! Take His stop! Stop the world and let me get off. Right? Now, is that a prayer of wisdom and thinking and knowledge? Or is that a prayer of the infirmity of what? The flesh. Desperation. Great word. Isn't it? So what happens? The Spirit comes along and does what? Makes an intercessory, doesn't He? Now let me ask you something. Who's the intercessory with? That's always the question. All right? Now before you answer the question, think about where we're at in Romans 8. What did we learn in 6? Dead to sin, alive to God. We have a new identity, a new master. 7, how do we defeat the ditch? Who we are in Christ, right? Our identity. So when He makes that intercession, Romans 8, we're a son, aren't we? We're an adult in the family of God. We've got all this mind and perspective and way to think. Who does He make an intercessory with? Well, it can't be God the Father. He's in you. He's there in the identity. So who's He making the intercessory with? You. With your inner man. Now watch this happen in Paul. You see, when he comes along and he's going to make the intercessory and he's going to make the prayer, you're going to pray. Folks, prayer is just simply talking to the Father. That's all that prayer is. You should talk to Him all the day. Pray without ceasing. You should never stop talking, should you? And some of you would be all right if you did, but just keep going, right? Okay? But now watch this. Watch the prayer. Let's just take a prayer. You got 2 Corinthians 12, right? You know, watch all this work with Paul. I try to come up with an illustration, and why not use our pattern, the Paul, the Apostle Paul? You got 2 Corinthians 12. You know where I'm going, verse 7. But go over with me to Philippians 4. Okay? Because you know these verses. Just get them in your thinking, okay? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. When most people think about prayer, guess where they go? Right here. They bypass the other four Pauline prayers, illustrations and examples of how to pray, and they go right here. Now watch Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Just get this in your thinking. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Notice that thanksgiving word's in there. So when you're in the infirmity, what are you supposed to have? Some thanksgiving about it. And we're going to see why here in just a second. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, there it is, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Do you see how all that is internal? You see that? That intercessory is internal. Okay? Now when you pray to the Father, I mean, sometimes you're vocal about it. I am. Lord, get that knucklehead out of my way. Here I come. You know? But notice it's an internal thing. The peace of God that's going to keep your what? Hearts and minds. Your soul and your spirit. Your thinking, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. You. Now watch it happen with Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. Verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I love the thorn in the flesh. If the thorn in the flesh is defined in the passage of you having a hurt toenail, everyone in this room is now has a what? A hurt toenail. Why? Because we want to have a messenger from Satan to buffet us. Because we're boom. Okay? But he doesn't tell you what the thorn in the flesh is, does he? He's being attacked by some outsiders coming in, wrecking the group. He's got some physical stuff that's come up on him in chapter 11. So he doesn't lay out what the thorn is. He just knows that there's a messenger from Satan sent there to do what? To buffet, slow him down. So what does he do? He cries for help, doesn't he? Verse 8. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that I might, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's response, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my what? Do you see how he took that infirmities and associated with the present situation, the thorn in his flesh? Okay? It isn't, is he suffering? Yes. Big broad. But infirmity down deep, he says, hey Lord, he went to the Lord how many times? Boy, he just didn't say, dear Lord, remember your great apostle Paul down here and heal me. He fell flat on his face and said, Lord, help. I know it's here for a reason. Philippians, he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know there's a lesson here, Lord. Help. Notice the Lord's answer in verse 9. The first phrases, first words. And he said unto what was the word of God to Paul? My grace is sufficient. You see, the answer to Paul's prayer was where? In the word of God. You see that? Where's the word of God in Paul? Now, Paul's a special case. He's talking mano to mano. But where is the word of God usually contained? In the inner man, isn't it? Think about Romans 8. Renew your mind. We're walking in the Spirit. We're minding the things of the Spirit. We're growing. We've been in the ditch, we're up, we're running. And now you got this infirmity come along and the Spirit makes an intercessory where? In your inner man by calling the verses to come to your mind in the moment of saying, my grace is sufficient for you. That's the intercessory, exactly. It's the internal action and activity of the Spirit because what are you doing? Think about where we're at. You just learned you're a son. You've just learned about this glory that's going to be revealed in you. So which side of the room are we on? Are we on the flesh side? Or are we on the grace side? Spirit. See, when you're in verse 26, you're walking in the Spirit. And the Spirit comes in and says, hey, bozo, don't you know these verses? There's about 10 other ones you can run. It says, look here, we need to guard you. We need to help you to so you're not walking in the flesh. What's going to set you free? Truth. Doctrine. So when the Spirit comes along and makes an intercessory for you, He's not running it up the flagpole to the Father, and Father, they don't know what they're praying for. Just relax. I'll take care of it. No, you come down, you cry, help. Paul didn't. He says, hey, Paul, my grace is sufficient to you. Here's what the Word of God says to you. The Word of God says you're going to suffer in this present dispensation. Get over it. You're going to have trials and tribulations, and this is how you get through them. Do you see? You got to see that. Because he's got something going on he's trying to accomplish in your life right now in time. Dead air. You okay? You got me? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I was talking to Joe a minute ago about looking at some verses a different way. When John said the other night about looking at Romans 6:23 differently, I've been looking at it different for a few years. That sits in you. That sits in salvation. That verse sits right there. Look at some of these verses a little differently with me, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we were there earlier. Verse number 9, how do you know? But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 13, for these things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How in the world do you get out of the infirmity? If you run to man's wisdom, the flesh, you're not going to ever get out of it. But if you stay where you're at in the walking in the Spirit, and He makes that intercessory, He comes along and He energizes the Word to work in you, guess what you have? Life and peace. Even in the tribulation. Remember in 2 Corinthians 4 there? It is but a what kind of affliction?
Light.
Now when John hurt himself on the motorbike, I don't think that was very light in the moment. The book says it was. So then what's his viewpoint on that? Ouch! It should be light. Well, that's light, okay? You know, you can't fix stupid sometimes, you know? That's what they say. The rapture will. There you go. Amen. All right, back to Romans 8. Let's go back to something spiritual here, okay? Romans 8. So when you read here, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So again, we're coming in a little bit tighter on that suffering angle, okay? Then he says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Well, you do know what you should pray for, but in the middle of the infirmity, usually you don't, do you? You're in the heat of battle. Whoo, what do I do? Duck. Right? So the Spirit comes along and says, hey, Rick, do you remember that verse in Romans 5 about tribulation worketh patience? Well, no, I don't want to remember that one. You should remember that one. Hey, do you remember that passage over there that says it's common to man? You remember that passage that's going to work for you a far more exceeding weight of glory? Remember this stuff's supposed to work for you, Rick? Yes, I know. All right, well, let's keep going. Next verse, 27. And He, that's God, that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He, the Spirit, maketh intercessory for the saints according to the will of God. I always look at that verse and I go, what? What's the will of God for you? Okay? You guys have it. You have that idea. You know what it is. Do what God's doing. Go find out. Go do that. 1 Thessalonians 5, have some thanksgiving. Have some peace. Be ambassador. All that stuff. You know, if in the middle of the infirmity, you are listening to the Spirit work in your inner man, you know what God the Father sees? Well done, son. He sees you minding the things of the Spirit. He says, okay, attaboy, he's a beloved son right now. Right? Not right now, but you get the idea, okay? Look at him. Look, he's doing, not in his own, the flesh, but in who He is in my. And you know what the Spirit says? See, we got him covered. Are you sure about that? Yeah, I got. Why? You got the Spirit. What's the Spirit doing? Spirit says He's golden. He's good. Why? Because He's listening to the sound doctrine. The inner man is renewed and He's moving right along. You ever have a time in your life when everything's flying along smooth? Everything's going, no problems, bills are getting paid, kids are obedient, wife's in line, everything's good, dogs aren't barking, everything's going right around. Okay. I tried to go quick. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Facebook, okay. All right. Have you ever had those moments, though, when everything's clicking along right, and you know in the gut of your gut something bad's coming? I told the guys at church... I told the guys a couple months ago at church, I said, guys, things are going along too slow, too well right now. It's coming. You know? So what do you do when everything's peaceful and calm? What should you be doing? Renewing your mind. Strengthening that inner man by the what? The Spirit with the Word, right? Why? Because when it comes, woohoo! And the wife does find out on Facebook and stuff does happen when I get home. Okay. Then what can we do? The jewelry store. Thanks. Okay. She's already mapped it out, I'm sure. Okay. What happens? Now you know how to do what? Stand. And who you are in Christ. So he says, verse 28, the great verse that everybody loves. And we know that all things work together for good unto them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Hey man, God loves me. Look, I got every wealth, riches. Man, the bank account's full. The kids are in line. The wife's over there doing her thing. Everything's good. But that's not what that verse is talking about, is it? In the middle of the infirmity, what did that verse in 2 Corinthians 4 say? It works for a what? Far more exceeding eternal glory, way to glory. What's the design of the suffering? What's the design of the infirmity? To get you to think and stay in the Spirit. Because you've been in Romans 7 before, haven't you? In the infirmity, and it's failed, hasn't it? So now Paul comes up and he says, okay, here, walking in that Spirit, you got the big picture, don't you? Now let's talk about something very specific here. And the answer is stay right where you've been all along. And who you are in this. Renew the mind. Build up the inner man. Get that thinking right. Get back on board. Why? Because He's got a program out there for you to have benefit and good. I love that word. Good. And we know that all things work together for what? Good. Benefit. Profit. Boy, if you think like your flesh, there's no profit in problems, are there? But when you're thinking in the Spirit, guess what there is in those problems? Profit. Good. Why? Because the Spirit comes in to your inner man, triggers that verse, applies the verse, and then what do you get to see happen? The verse work. People always ask me, but Rick, how does that work? Colossians tells us, as you've received Christ, what? So walk ye in Him. It works because it's faith. You believe the verse, you believe the Word, and you go, hey, that verse will work. Look at that. Woo! Then you can go to 2 Corinthians 1 when you're going to come up and comfort somebody else. Why? Because the verse has worked in your life. You can say, hey, look, dude, this verse will work right there for you. It did for me. Okay. All right. You see, verse 28 comes along and he says, hey, look, this stuff's going to work, and it's going to work because I've got a purpose. Look at the end of that verse. He says, to them who are called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? You notice I didn't put that up here. You notice that? Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. If I'm squinting, it's because of the glare to see that clock. And it says 11, so I'm okay. Oh, okay. Look at Ephesians 1, verse number 9 here. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good, what? Pleasure. Which He hath what? Oh, purpose statement coming, isn't it? Purposed in Himself that in the dispensation, the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. What's His purpose? The reconciliation program of the whole thing, isn't it? To use the body of Christ to complete out and to fulfill and to fill up the heavenly places, to use the nation of Israel, believing Israel, be specific, by the way, in the earthly program, right? So He says, hey, look, all this stuff's going to happen to you, and it's going to be good, because you're mine, called you by my gospel, because I got a purpose. And that purpose is to use you guys, who I just called, hello, to do something out here in the to come. Okay? I got something to do for you that I foreknew before the foundation of the world I was going to do. I predestinated you to do something. So I justified you, and I'm going to glorify you. But notice the word is in past tense. You're already there in verse 30. Go back to Romans 8. You know what? If you're still in Ephesians, chapter number 3, just real quick, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's His purpose? What kind of purpose is it? It's an eternal purpose, isn't it? Okay, go back to Romans 8. Just look at the verses here. Okay? He's got a purpose, doesn't He? He has an eternal purpose, and He's going to use those who are walking in the Spirit over here, who are learning some stuff. Verse 30, for whom He did foreknow, 29, thank you. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to do what? To be conformed to the winning numbers of the Powerball, to the winning numbers of the Pick Lotto, to health, wealth, and prosperity. She goes to my church. She knows where we're going, okay? To what? To the image of His Son, okay? Now, let's stop there for just a second. Do we not have the image of His Son at justification? He died as you, right? You're in Him. For God to see you is to see His Son. That great illustration there, what Dad did about the priest and the lamb. Looks at the lamb, never sees the people who brought it. Right? So you're in His image. But there's more going on in that verse, isn't there? To that image. The image of His Son, that He might be the what? You notice I left that term out. Right? The firstborn among who? Many brethren. Now what's the firstborn? Okay, come over with me to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, the context starts in verse 15 and so forth, so let's just read there. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? What does it mean to be firstborn? The first. Okay? The first one, right? I'm the firstborn of mom and dad. Woohoo! Okay? That and a $5 bill might buy me coffee at Starbucks. Okay? I'm the firstborn. He's the firstborn of what? He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. What is all that? Government, isn't it? The governmental structure of the universe, both in heaven and in earth. There's a government. He created all of that, didn't He? Verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Boy, that's a verse that'll kick the teeth in on an evolutionist. Okay? Well, watch verse 18. And He is the head of the church, the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the, what? The dead. That in all things He might have the preeminence. When he talks about you and I, back in Romans 8, being conformed to the image of his Son, the firstborn among men, what's that firstborn referencing to?
Resurrection,
isn't it? How do you know that from Romans 8? Because he just got done telling you that you're going to have an adoption, to wit, the redemption of your body. You got a hope, don't you? You got a resurrection situation in your thinking already in Romans 8, firstborn. Hey, we're talking about resurrection life. What is he doing here? I got a purpose for a bunch of resurrected people, don't I? Okay? And that purpose is going to be out here in the ages to come and filling up those heavenly places. We'll get there in just a second how you do that, okay? But you need to know that. Now, come back to Romans 8 just real fast. Because how does all this kind of click together with what we've been studying? That's why he says, moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, his purpose right here envelops all of that. He says, look, I have a purpose. My purpose is to have a body that's going to reign and rule in the heavenly places. How you get in the body is I'm going to call you by my gospel. When you hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, what happened to you? You're sealed. You're blessed with all. You're sealed, aren't you? You're baptized into the body. You have an identity. The identity of that guy is going to have a destiny of being conformed to the image of the firstborn. We're in Romans 8. Now, that body does have a destiny, doesn't it? The heavenly places. But right now, we're right here. And I want that to be in your thinking. The end of verse 30 is glorified. I want that to be your thinking right now in the infirmity. Right now when it's in the nasty now and now. Right now when you're struggling. And you're struggling because you're where? You're still on planet Earth. You're struggling because you've been through Romans 7 and now you're in 8. You've had your sonship renewed in your thinking. This is who I am. So now in the infirmity, guess what I can do? I can walk. I can view things according to His purpose because He's got all this done and He seals it with a kiss of the Holy Spirit. You follow that? Now come over with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 1 first. Because how in the world can you be sure that everything we've been studying this week is a given? Now, Dad's going to talk about are you persuaded. But before you can be persuaded, you have to be what? Sure. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed by the Spirit. Hey, good. With the Holy Spirit of what? What would be the promise? Okay, right? You with me there? Look at that word just a little different. Godliness has the promise of what? The life that now is, and... ooh, hey, the promise is now. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You've got something going on right now, don't you? What's the next verse? How does the next verse start? Which is the earnest expect of our inheritance or the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise. Folks, don't you have a seal with some earnest? We all know what earnest money is. We understand the concept. How in the world are we sure He's going to come back and get us? We have the seal of the Holy Spirit of promise, don't we? The promise of getting out of here, but the promise of getting through life right now, don't we? Help you out, Barry. Okay? What is the seal? When you think about that word seal, what do you think about?
Permanence.
Security.
Protected.
Ownership. Wow. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. We're walking in the Spirit. We got the seal of the Spirit. He sealed us. Ephesians 4 verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Uh-oh. Woohoo. Trouble. Trouble. Trouble, Will. Trouble. Where are we at? We're grieving. What are we doing? We're walking in the flesh, aren't we? We're Romans 7. We're not obeying. We're not paying attention. Right? So the Holy Spirit leaves us.
No.
So it's too bad, so sad, turkey, we'll see you later. Gobble, gobble. You're on your way. No, what does he say? You're what? You're sealed. Guess what? He ain't leaving, is he? In the infirmity, if you fall flat on your face and bloody your nose, guess what he's going to say? Come here. Come here. Let me help you up. That's glory, is right. He doesn't go over there and kick you. Say, stay down there. Get up. Let's get going. Let's renew the mind. Let's remember who we are. Don't you remember that verse in Romans 8:18 about suffering? And it's going to happen? And there's glory coming? Don't you remember that you're the sons and you can cry, Abba, Father? Don't you remember who you are? You're sealed with that Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the what? Now there's the rapture, isn't it? But I got that. I have that in my experience right now. Why? The end of verse 30 in chapter 8 says that they are what? Glorified. I got that right now. I can look at life, come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, on your way back to wherever we're at here, Romans 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 22. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You see, folks, likewise the Spirit helpeth our, what? Infirmities. How can we be sure of all this? We got the seal of the deal. The deal's done. You are glorified. You have been called. Notice the past tense of it. You've been predestinated. You've been justified. He knows who are His. And He says, if you're mine, remember yesterday in Romans 8 there, 5, you know, if you're Christ, you got me. And I'm not going to let you fail as long as you're doing what? Walking right where you're supposed to be. Remember that choice I was talking about, you know, in 6? You got to choose to do this by a choice of faith. You walk right along. He's sealed. And you're sealed to the what? The day of redemption. Go back to Romans 8. Man, just let that sink in. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse number 31. What shall we say then to these things? What are you going to say about these things? Amen. Amen is the right word. You know that?
Thank you, Lord.
Make it so. I reckon it to be. If God can be, if God be for us, who can be? Nobody can be. Why? You got the Spirit. You got the seal. You got the one mechanism that'll help you through your infirmities on a day-by-day basis when you walk in the Spirit. When you mind the things of the Spirit. When you cry, Abba, Father, because you have the right thinking. When you say, I've been in 7, I don't want to ever go back there, and I'm on guard against going there. Now, will you get there? Yeah. I'll bust your bubble. You'll get there. But how do I come right back over here. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. So what do we say about this? I love it. Thank you. Have some thanksgiving about it. Some rejoicing, because you're glorified. And you can operate and function right now in time as if you're already there, right? People say, how can you say that? Because of Ephesians 2:6. Have you ever read that verse? Read that verse, Ephesians 2:6. I'd quote it, but the beginning of it just slipped, so. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together. Folks, you're already there. It's all past tense. And you know what we say? I can do it. Give me something to do. No, we say, thank you. You know what sets apart you from the heathen? Romans 1? Thankfulness. You know that? Thank you, Lord. Are we sure about this? Yeah, we are. Why? Because we got that seal of the Spirit that says it'll get done. And I'm for you. It's amazing. I read this passage, and I do. I scratch my head and go, okay, did we talk about Calvin, or we do? And I'm like, you know, we're not going to talk about Calvin. We'll talk about why, because it demonstrates that, you know what, he's been on your side since before the foundation of the world. He's been for you. You know, that's wonderful. Just come up and say, thank you, Lord. We have a song. Thank you, Lord. Hey, listen, I'm not a singer. That's why I'm sitting by the out-of-tune piano, because you don't even hear me. Okay? I blend right in. Thank you. And we have a heart of thankfulness. Okay? All right. Dearly Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for everything we have in Christ Jesus, your Son. And for that, we'll give you the honor and the glory and everything that's said and done. In your name we pray. Amen. All right.